The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's 4 minutes after. Good morning. Welcome. So glad to have you with me. I'm John Caldera. No, I don't know where George is. People say, where's George? Actually, nobody asks where George is. What happens is KNUS has this big searchlight that they put out on top of KNUS towers. It's the George light. And the George light goes out whenever George is out of town. It searches across the skies, and it's kind of like the bat light. And I see it, and I know George is in trouble. And I rush down to the studio, and I fill in. That's the way that works. It's really, really cool. Hey, I'm John Caldera. So glad to spend some time with you. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. So, by the way, have you ever thought what would happen in the city of Gotham if the Joker is on a rampage? Commissioner Gordon needs Batman to come and save the day. But unlike all the usual god-awful cloudy nights, Gotham is having an unseasonably wonderful, warm, beautiful, starry night. They turn on the bat. What do they call the bat searchlight? You know, they turn on the bat light. The bat signal? Yeah, they turn on the bat signal. They point it up into the sky, but there are no clouds. And so the bat signal doesn't bounce onto anything. What do you do? And so there, poor Bruce Wayne is just out there hanging out at the Wayne Manor, you know, by the pool, having himself a nice little bat margarita. Going, finally a night off, it looks like. You know, the whole town is engulfed in riots and crime and burning itself up, and he's just there hanging out with a couple of models and babes and skimpy bathing suits. I guess everything's okay. And Gordon's like, where the hell is this guy? He's like, there are no clouds, sir. Well, what do we do? Well, we could call him if we knew his number. He never gave us his telephone number. He just gave us this stupid searchlight. Well, can we ring an alarm? No, he gave us a stupid searchlight. What kind of freaky guy is this? Just a telephone number. How about an alarm? Is there like some alarm we could ring? No, he gave us a searchlight. Oh, and by the way, as a guy who used to do stage lighting, yeah, I actually had a job once. I run the Independence Institute now. I do public policy. I try to get things on the ballot. I try to stop socialists from destroying our beautiful state. But way back when, I actually worked for a living. Craziest thing ever. And I know something about how lights work. Yeah. And there's a couple different types of lights. And the type of lights that that actually can throw a shadow like that, where you can focus in and put down what we used to call a gobo. And in movies, they would call them cookies. They're actually this little tin cutout that you would drop in front of a lens, and it would put a shadow out. They were called a gobo. In stage lighting, we called them gobos. In Hollywood, they call them cookies. I don't know why. Both of them sound stupid. But they're really very kind of cool. But you'd have to put them inside a inside what's called an ellipsoidal light. What's an ellipsoidal light? Thank you for asking. Ellipsoidal light has a long tube and literally has a lens on it. All right? It has this lens so you could focus it, which kind of makes sense. Think of it like a telescope. And in order for you to get the shadow right, you know, you want to throw this shadow on the wall that looks like something. Let's say you want to put something on the back of the stage, on the stage wall, and you want it to look like the moon. And so you put in this little tin thing with a cutout of the moon, and you put it into the light, and then you have to focus it because there's a lens at the end of the light, and you focus it by moving the length back and forth until the moon comes into sharp focus. Or sometimes you want it to be fuzzy, so you focus it out or in a little bit to make it fuzzy. And then all of a sudden, there you have it. You've got the image of the moon projected onto the wall of the stage. There, that's how you do it. So you got this long tube-looking light. You've probably seen it when you've gone to a show. Well, every time you've seen the bat signal, you see this big, huge searchlight, and it looks like a big bowl. And in front of the bowl, they put the big cutout of the bat, you know, the Batman symbol. That would not project the bat onto a cloud. It would only, I don't know, dim the light. That's all it would do. So if you know anything about lights, it would not project a shadow of a bat. It would not make a nice little crisp bat up on a cloud. It would just make the light a little bit more dim. Does that make any sense? You know what? I'm starting to think maybe this whole Batman thing isn't even real. I'm starting to think this whole thing is made up. Oh, now I don't even know what to believe. Jeez. And I'm going to start to question everything.
I saw a meme, I think it was on Facebook, and it had the little boat from Gilligan's Island, and it was marooned on the shore of Gilligan's Island, and it said, this was a model blankety-blank boat built in 1964. Its gasoline tank could only hold this much gas. Yet we're led to believe it could go on a 3-hour tour.
I'm starting to think this show wasn't true at all.
Anyway, there you have it. All of which to say, back to the beginning, George Brockler isn't here. Oh, sorry about that. That was a long, long way to go for absolutely nothing. 13 minutes after, I'm John Caldera. So glad to be with you. here's a little story I thought I'd make sure to get to you. This is from Fox News. A federal judge on Monday blocked a California law that restricts the sale of new handguns. U.S. District Judge says parts of legislation violate the Second Amendment. He wrote, the state's requirements for new handguns are unconstitutional and cannot be enforced because of these restrictions. He wrote, no new models of semi-automatic handguns have been approved for sale since 2013, and Californians are forced to buy older and less potential models. What? He issued a preliminary injunction to take effect in 2 weeks, giving the State Department of Justice time to appeal. A lawsuit challenging the law was filed last year by the California Rifle and Pistol Association. California law requires new handguns have a loaded chamber indicator, a magazine disconnect mechanism, and a micro stamping capacity. Here's what the judge wrote. No handgun available in the world has all three of these features, says a judge who was appointed by Republican George W. Bush. These regulations are having a devastating impact on Californians' ability to acquire and use these new state-of-art handguns. Older handguns have been grandfathered into a list, a roster of guns, passed a safety test known as the Unsafe Handgun Act. Californians have a constitutional right to acquire and use state-of-the-art handguns to protect themselves, he wrote. They should not be forced to settle for decade-old models of handguns to ensure that they remain safe inside or out of the home. Good for him. Quote, the fact of the matter is California's gun safety laws save lives, and California's Unsafe Handgun Act is no exception, Attorney General said in a statement. We will continue to lead the advance and defend California's gun safety laws. No. Good. It's just too bad we have to go all the way to the courts to try to protect ourselves. You get the idea here. I don't need to tell you this. You know this. I love how the left says completely opposite of what they mean when they try to get their job done. They say gun safety when what they mean is gun control. They don't say racial discrimination, they say affirmative action. I wrote a column for last Sunday's Gazette, and they talk about reproductive rights. But in fact, it's not about reproductive rights, it's about birth control, the opposite of reproduction. They're just genius about their semantic warfare, aren't they? I only wish our team could be half as clever as they are. A little something to think about. All right, here's really what I wanted to spend a good portion of the morning talking about. And I want to be careful how we talk about this. There is a sizably good chance that a grand jury, perhaps as early as today, will hand an indictment in New York to arrest Donald Trump. I think this is a mistake on so many levels. This is devastating on so many levels. I do not want to see Donald Trump run for president. I do not want to see him split the Republican ticket. I do not believe Donald Trump is electable in 2024. I think he will split the conservative base. I believe the left wants him to run. They know that he is going to be disruptive. They want to keep him front and center. The idea of arresting him is bizarre, truly bizarre. If he is arrested for a role in a hush money payment to a porn star, I'm trying to understand exactly what this is. Is it lying about sex? Because I thought we had settled that back with Bill Clinton, that lying about sex was okay. If this is over and done with, why in the world is a Manhattan district attorney doing this? Is it to prove his bona fides? What is to be gained by this? Is it to show how crazy Trumpies are and to reignite protests? The former president asks for people to protest if he's arrested, instead of asking people not to protest. It adds a very basic question. Are we now adding a legal hurdle for anyone who wants to run for office? Which is, we'll just arrest them. There is no question that Donald Trump is a leading candidate for the presidency in 2024. My personal opinion, and it's only an opinion, is that he is unelectable. It is my opinion, and it is only an opinion, is that he would be the Democrats' lead choice to be the Republican nominee. Because he would certainly split up the Republican ticket. And as we saw in 2022, it would lead to a lot of Republican defeats. It is my hope that the Trump-like energy moves on to a new generation with a lot of great candidates, from DeSantis on to a whole bunch of folks that can take that message, that can take that anger, that can take that energy and build on it. Because I think the time is right. That being said, Democrats are scared. But here's the question. If he is arrested, if he is jailed, then do we have a system where those in power can merely arrest and incarcerate political opponents? And if they were worried about January 6th and people thinking that there was a conspiracy to keep Donald Trump out, imagine what those same people are going to think if Donald Trump is behind bars during an election. Give me your thoughts on this one. 303-696-1970. I'm John Caldera, in for the big man. Keep it right here. You're on 710 KNUS. After 6 o'clock, good morning, welcome, it's time to get up. I'm John Caldera, in for George. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. Today could be the day that former President Donald Trump is arraigned. He could be arrested. He has called for protests, if he is. This is for, think about this. This is for not paying a woman for sex. No, no, no. It is paying a woman not to tell her story about having sex with him. No, no, no. It's not even that. It's for paying a woman not to tell her story about having sex with him. No, it's not even really about that. It's about having his lawyer pay her not to tell the story of having sex with him. No, it's not even about that. It's about having the lawyer pay her not to talk about having sex and not filing it as a campaign disclosure. Eh? Yeah, yeah. That is the charge. You see, in the city of New York, how this is a city issue is very odd. This is why it makes so little sense as a political charge. I guess it wouldn't have been a crime if on the forms for his presidential campaign, right next to buying photocopier paper and buying television ads and other legal fees, he put down a line item that said, paying hush money to porn star to not talk about having sex with presidential candidate Donald Trump. If only that was written down on the campaign finance form, I guess then he wouldn't be charged with a crime. Is that really what that is? If you remember back to Bill Clinton's impeachment, it wasn't because he was messing around with Monica Lewinsky. It was because he perjured himself under oath. That was the crime. The crime was perjury. So here the crime is not sex. The crime was, as I understand it, a campaign violation. You're having your lawyer pay off this porn star to keep quiet about this, which she didn't. By the way, lesson to all you rich guys, maybe porn stars aren't the most trustworthy. Just a thought. Just a thought. And now this is happening. Now, so if it wasn't Trump, if the guy's name was Smith or Caldera or Brockler, my guess is the DA here wouldn't be charging this. He wouldn't be wasting all of the taxpayers' money going after it. This is a vanity case. A complete and total vanity case. Why is he doing this? It's interesting to think of what goes on in both of the major parties. And I'm not thinking in the major parties like officially. I'm thinking more unofficially. And play with me on this one. In the Democratic Party, there is a lot of pressure to get Biden to step down. They don't want him to run. They know people don't like him. People in his own party don't want him to run. They know that he is very, very vulnerable. People in the Democratic Party want Trump to run. They want him to run because they know Trump will lose. They want him to run. Go. He will be the thing that divides the party. Go run as a third party. Go split up the Republicans. Do what you did in 2022. Go do that again. That's what they want. And they want Biden to step down. So inside the Democratic circles, they want their guy not to run. Inside the Republican circles, Republicans don't want Trump to run. I don't want Trump to run. We have so many great candidates who can bring Trump voters along. I think DeSantis would be one of many great candidates who could reach into those Trump voters and bring them along. He could bring those Trump voters along. He can govern. He can prove that he can govern. And still, I think most Trump voters would vote for him. In any event, first question. Do you think Trump had sex with this woman? Of course you do. Yes, you do. Don't tell me you don't. Yes, you do. Come on. Why are they bringing up these charges? I think, I can't prove this, this is just my speculation, that most Democrats are slapping themselves on the forehead with this DA going, why in the world are you doing this? Don't take Trump out. We need him to be our foil. The last thing you want to do is take Trump out right now and make him a martyr now. But it does bring up this other incredible question. Are we now going to set this precedent that whatever team's in power, we're just going to arrest the guy who is one of the lead candidates on the other team? This is bizarre. This is just bizarre. Help me figure this one out. 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. Did Donald Trump pay hush money to this woman? Of course he did. Don't tell me he didn't. Did he sleep with this woman? Of course he did. Was it illegal? Nah, probably not. The way he did it, was that illegal? Probably yes. Is it that big of a deal? Probably not. If Trump's last name was Clinton, what would happen? Nothing. But his last name isn't Clinton. His name is Trump. Part of me wonders how much of the motivation to run for president is just so that he won't be prosecuted for 4 years. Part of me wonders if he didn't run, how many prosecutors would just leave him alone? Part of me wonders, how deep is this Trump derangements that they can't leave him alone? I'm amazed how many people on the left make Trump a part of their personality. Oh yeah, there are people on the right who are Trump sycophants. There's no question about it. They're under his spell, no doubt. But there are people on the left who hating Trump is a religion to them. It is just a trigger for them in ways I've never seen before. I mean, these are people who just come alive by the mere sound of Trump. They see a Trump bumper sticker and they lose it. It's really very entertaining. It's really fun. I mean, they will chase people down the street just to get into an argument over how delusional somebody is because they like Trump. And then they run into someone like me and they really don't know what to do. And so I should probably give you my Trump lowdown if you haven't heard it before. I voted for Trump twice. First time, reluctantly. The second time, enthusiastically. I'm really disappointed how Trump handled January 6th. Very disappointed how he handled his re-election. I think Trump was one of the most transformational presidents we've ever had from a policy point of view. If you look at what he did from a purely policy point of view, it was incredible. I don't think he even understood what he did from a policy point of view. When he took the oath, I made a decision. I will judge his presidency not by the words that come out of his mouth, but what he does with his pen. No, just the first three letters, not anything else. I will judge him by his appointments, his vetoes, his executive orders, and the bills he signs, and nothing else, and nothing else. None of his ridiculous activities, his personal insults, his outlandish, narcissistic behavior. I'll just do it solely on his appointments, his judges, his vetoes, his bills, his executive orders. And 90% of those were out of the park. For those who wanted a man who acted presidential, who said the right things at the right time, who was a father figure, a Moses for the country, well, he was a complete failure. But from my point of view, he was an incredible success. But most Americans look to a president as a paternal figure, a symbol for the nation, a Moses. I think it's time to move to a different generation. I don't want a repeat of 2020 in 2024. God help us all. All right, give me your thoughts on this. What happens if he's arrested? What does it mean if he's arrested? Is it good for America? Is it good for us? Is it good for him? Is it best to lock him up for the election so we can get on with the business of choosing a president? Could it be the best thing ever if for the next election, because this case could come to a trial in about a year. Think of this. He could be arrested today or tomorrow, and a trial could happen in about a year, right at the height of a presidential campaign. He could go to trial and be put in jail at the height of a presidential campaign. 303-696-1971. I'm John Caldera. In for George. Keep it right here, 710 KNUS. Ten minutes to the top. I'm John Caldera. Good morning and welcome. Trying to get my handle over on Trump's maybe likely imminent arrest. 303-696-1971. Let's go to the phones. Good morning, Pete. So glad to have you.
Good morning, John. First of all, I would start out by saying I'm one of those voters who also voted for Trump twice. And I think your analysis of Trump's policies and the way he operated with this pen, so to speak, is smack dab on. Going forward as a Republican and a conservative, I think we have to come to the realization that it doesn't matter who we put up as a candidate. The left is going to try to do the same thing. One of the things I really appreciate about Trump is he called things out that America needs to understand, that we are a deep state, that there are powers in this country that are operating behind the scenes that are forming policy and forming kind of a shadow government. And I think Trump realized that, and I think he's the biggest roadblock to it. But moving forward, I think conservatives and middle America need to wake up and see what is going on in this country. I'm not the biggest fan
And if they do wake up, just curious, I agree with you. He did shine a spotlight on the deep state, and I still think lots of folks don't believe in that. The left hates the term deep state, but it's I don't see the deep state as conspiratorial. I see it as cultural, that people who work for government hate the idea of reforming government and have a predilection towards keeping government big and growing. That's not a surprise. And they will work against draining the swamp. That's not a surprise either.
Well, I think the deep state goes further than that. I think the deep state, as I look at it, I think it's major portions of academia, major portions of the media, major portions of big business who actually control policy, who actually literally shape government. So it benefits them and really shape and control what we think and how we think. I don't think I'm going too far out on the edge when I say that. And I think Trump was the one person who has come out and said, this is what's going on in this country. I'm here to fix it. I don't know if he's the answer next election. I hope not. But if he is what the Republicans put up, I'll vote for him, get behind him. I hope it's a guy like DeSantis, but I hope our side starts realizing that this is a fight that the left is intending on winning. They want to reshape America to something that we won't even recognize 5, 10, 15 years from now. They want to reduce our freedoms to basically a nanny state. That's the way I look at it. Now, what I think Trump needs to do at this point is maybe he needs to bow out and pick his predecessor going forward and sit down with his predecessor and say, this is what I know. These are the people behind it.
He's going to do this?
I don't know. I don't know if he's going to have a choice.
I don't think he has an ego that would ever let him be able to do that.
Oh, I hope you may be right there, but I don't know if he's going to have a choice if there's several different indictments that come down. Again, we don't control the media. We don't control much of the narrative in this country. So Trump's always going to have his diehard supporters. We know that. Everyone does. The Clintons have their diehard supporters. I think that the big question is Trump even going to get get the opportunity to run if he's dealing with all these different indictments. And I, from what I understand, there's more than one that's possibly coming down. So if that's the case, then he would be very smart and intellectually to sit back and say, I have the ability to shape going forward who I'm going to support, who I'm going to get behind. And probably, if you look at the state of our country, pick the next president and probably shape how that next presidency, the policies and things that come, and let this predecessor, so to speak, be the guy, the hatchet man that goes after and finishes the job that Trump started.
You are imagining Trump as an elder statesman, which I believe he is biologically incapable of becoming. And it would be so wonderful if he could put his hand on the shoulder of someone like DeSantis or someone else and say, son, I'm passing the torch to you. Here's what you need to do, my boy. And go get them. But can't. He simply can't. He's too delusional and narcissistic to be able to do so. So he's going to hurt himself in trying. Let me put it this way. Muhammad Ali stayed in the ring too long and damaged himself. I believe that Tom Brady stayed in the huddle a couple of years longer than he should have, when he should have taken the last ring, Super Bowl ring, and left. And Trump, likewise, should have said, the election was stolen. I'm out of here. Thanks for the call. We'll play with this in the next hour. What should Trump do? What could he do? Will he be arrested? Of course he will. What's the game plan after that? Keep it here. You're on 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.